What's up, Internet? Welcome to episode 60 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
I thought you were about to point to Henry, and so I'm like, oh, damn.
So there's always a debate that goes on in my head, and who's going to glare at me worse if I don't introduce them first, you or Henry? And this time I'm deciding I didn't want to bother you. Yeah. I didn't want you to be angry.
Tom Agrino.
Henry Gilbert.
Greg awesome. Henniger. Ryan Telgenick.
Ryan's having some severe microphone problems.
Tom Agrino.
I heard they ordered new rubber bands for our microphones.
Like God, I hope what? So. Your raspy Tom Agrino?
Yeah.
Do a full-fledged one.
Tom Agrino.
It's very easily imitatable.
I don't like it.
Oh, and a Cooper.
It's a little grating on the ears.
Yeah. It doesn't taste good on the lips.
Certainly doesn't.
I stopped doing it because the people were like, no. You know what? No.
You got to give the people what they want.
So episode 60, that's 9 away from 69.
I mean. Oh.
69!
Why?
Well, I'm just saying.
Yes, that is actually correct.
We should do something important on 69.
I was listening
we should
to
have an orgy in
an
this
Eagles
room.
Song
just a good old-fashioned.
We should do half of it one way and then the other half another
Ooh,
way.
Wow. We could create a daisy chain. Have you seen that?
We could give each other
Where
some
would
Dutch
I have
rudders.
Seen that at?
I don't know. Just, you know
haven't you seen what the kids are doing these days? Called a daisy chain.
They just randomly will daisy chain each other. They'll be walking around.
Nine episodes. And I also heard that you guys want more live episodes, so I think we're figuring out which one's going to be the live episode.
Fuck it, let's daisy chain.
If you're going to daisy chain, you should do it live.
Live streaming
on
daisy.
Twitch TV.
Right.
That's not a fucking live stream.
Does Twitch allow for pornography?
I don't think so.
They shut it down pretty quick.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, it's also funny to me that one time that really famous streamer accidentally forgot to shut off a stream and was Joeing to some pornography.
Joeing?
Well, we can say that they shut it down pretty quick, but there was one time where we had a stream of a blank room for like 9.5 hours. So the amount of time that was on their front page.
The front page.
So the amount of time they actually are attending. If you're gonna JO on Twitch, so. Life hack. Yeah. If you're going to JO on Twitch, do it between the hours of 1 a.m. and like 7 a.m. because they're not going to find out. You're free to JO
Prior
as much as you want
to
on Twitch.
Today, I don't think I've ever heard the expression JO.
I prefer
I've
to pronounce it Joe because
Joe-ing.
A, it's less
Joe-ing.
It's less obvious what you're talking about and you can get away with it more subtly. But if you say JO,
there
it just sounds like you're
really
trying to
I've
be
always thought if you
it.
Wanted to get away with it more subtly, you just do it under a desk.
Yeah. I mean, there are
Trust
some really
me.
Good ways.
Sometimes that works.
To talk about masturbation.
Rubbing
one out.
Here's a favorite of mine. It's called Take the Day Off to J-Off.
A little J-Offing.
The whole day.
The whole day.
I got arrested for jaywalking.
Sometimes, you know, you just gotta
get it
hours at a time.
Come on. Really?
What, Joeing while walking on the street?
Jaywalking?
This is the end to a very silly, long week for us.
It was a weird week, kind of.
A little weird.
It was
oddly stressful. I was right down the street. You remember that that thing that happened in San Diego where the guy got naked and was
jacking it
in San Diego? I was down the street from that when it was happening.
San Diego.
Yeah.
Did you see him out the window?
I did not see
him. The title of a popular song about this.
Jacking
in San Diego, yes. Here it is, actually.
Jackin' in San Diego.
Have you heard this?
No.
From South Park.
Yeah. South Park immediately made a great joke
when
about it.
When did this... He's gonna check it.
San Diego.
Wow. Did you hear that this was the first week they've missed an episode?
Really?
Ever? So they almost always get their episode ready the day before because they want to be able to make it timely and like have that slip in that last really recent joke. They hit a 3-hour power outage on Tuesday night. There's just pictures of them sitting in the office with like night vision stuff. Just like we physically can't finish this. It's all on computers. So they missed the episode.
So
sad. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But I was at their panel for their game that San Diego Comic Con this year, and somebody asked them, like, are you guys going to jack it in San Diego this year? And then they said, like, this is their, they had to laugh because it was their first year in San Diego Comic Con since writing that classic song.
Beautiful classic.
Did Coney even get caught? Did anything happen with that?
No, but he got elected, which is great.
Wait, Coney?
That's not the same guy.
The guy whose name
is getting written in sidewalk chalk everywhere.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't his name, but it was the guy who did the documentary about Coney.
He's also the guy that did the whole Invisible Children thing.
Yeah,
but then
that
we
was
find
the guy
out
that they were making fun of.
Yeah, that's the guy that went fucking nuts.
That's kind of fucked up.
Took off all his clothes and was, like, slamming his hands on the ground and apparently jacking it on a street corner.
Yeah.
That's really bizarre.
Well, I love the clip where he, like...
I mean, when 30 million people start ridiculing you on the internet...
After you've tried to save children.
After you've tried to save children.
And
by African warlord.
You've inarguably saved some children.
Right.
But you get naked in public, and you are a South Park joke.
Yeah. That's rough.
Speaking of people who jack it in public, the top seven
Sonic
this week.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog recently got caught. Green Hill Zone corner.
This went on for another 10 minutes.
Top seven from this week.
All of the video game heroes to get caught jacking it.
Yeah.
I would say it would be Sonic.
Sonic can get away pretty quickly.
Sonic
though.
Has a Pee Wee Herman.
It would last.
Like,
well, I mean, how would you catch him? He'd probably get it done in like 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh.
I
think
wish.
It would take that long?
I mean, it's at least half of my speed. So
7 seconds?
7 seconds.
That would be a new record.
Would you want to do it that
What would
quickly?
He do with the other six and a half seconds?
You saw that movie.
I'm always bored by then.
What was that movie about that sex sexologist guy?
Kinsey.
Yeah. Where there's that scene about the
good old
the
Liam Neeson.
Who was like, I can go from soft to ejaculation in like less than 10 seconds. And like, I don't believe you. And then he proves it.
Wait, isn't
this
that
is the greatest movie ever made?
Yeah. That's a common thing, right? Like
0 to 10 seconds.
0 to 10.
I don't know if zero. I don't know if I could do that.
Oh, that's a gross.
It seems effect. Like it would result in something splitting apart.
You know what it would result in?
With no stimulation,
uproarious applause.
Your own, like completely self-contained.
Look, Tom, not all of us are born equal. Okay.
0 to 10 seconds.
I mean, are we talking like speed, or is it just like
literally
7 strokes?
Literally.
Or like 40 strokes in 10 seconds.
0 to however many strokes.
That's what
so
I want to know,
as they
though.
Fall within 10 seconds.
Look, I
I'm just
going to
say, for some people,
is it speed
10
or technique?
Seconds is a pretty average amount of time for things to occur. Okay?
So the top seven most pathetic attempts to kill Sonic the Hedgehog by Dr. Robegman.
do you want to talk about our conversation about should it be Robotnik or Eggman?
Yeah, we had
article?
A lengthy...
I still don't know.
I mean,
it sounds
well,
like
he's
an
both,
era thing,
right? He's both.
Well, yes. He's like Madonna.
Which one do you
he
identify?
It's no different than Bowser and Koopa.
Yeah,
King Koopa.
Yeah, I mean, but it's sort of become interchangeable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in the in
do you
the,
call him he who shall not be
the
named,
argument
or do you
is
just say Voldemort? It's pretty much the same.
Is, yeah, which one is the more prominent mm-hmm. usage?
I kind of think Robotnik.
I kind of do too.
I think Robotnik is a little racist.
With people,
how is that racist?
What?
Go on.
Because it's basically maligning Eastern Europeans by insinuating that they're all
robots.
Maniacal.
It'd be like Robotowitz.
Well,
I don't
I mean,
think
Nick
it
is.
I think it's perfectly fine. He just has a weird name.
Eastern European. What?
He just has a weird name.
I mean, I'm a fan of the Eggman.
Eggman?
Because that's
see,
what my parents called me when
I feel
I was
like
very
Eggman
young.
Sounds like an insult to him.
Is
yeah,
Robotnik a real person?
Look at his head.
No.
That's where his nickname
it's
came
a doc-
from.
There's Dr. Robotnik.
I mean, is there anyone in the world named Robotnik?
I feel like we had an article that contacted all of the people who had names similar to video game characters, and if he was, he'd be in this list.
Huh.
Number 7 on the list of the most pathetic attempts to kill Sonic by Robotnik or Eggman is the Emerald Hill Boss in Sonic the Hedgehog
2. So this
2.
Is the one where he kind of came down in like a little helicopter capsule and embedded himself in a tank, right? Like that was...
He should have just kept the high ground on Sonic and dropped bombs on him. Like why hop into a drill car, like a slow-moving drill car against...
Yeah,
because
that's what's going to catch the speediest thing alive.
Wile E. Coyote has been through this before, and he knows that you don't go with the slow-moving option.
You go with the anvil.
Yeah. Number 6, the Spring Stadium Zone boss in Sonic 3D Blast. And that, if you look at it, is the definition of, holy crap, we can do some 3D stuff, we should do it. 3D, it's essentially Vector
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
He turns into Vector Man and fights Sonic.
3D Blast is a sad era for Sonic, because he just had 4 great games in a row. Sonic 1 through 3 and Knuckles. And then they make this one and they're like, this is the future, man. This is going to be on the Saturn and on the game and on the Genesis, and everybody's got to play it. It's look at these 3D graphics.
I played this game a lot, and actually, I recall liking it. But I was also a dumb baby kid, and
sure weather.
Whoa. It's a shame you haven't changed.
Shareware.
Shareware.
Which was the Malware. Sonic game that Narwhal. First had Tails?
Sonic and Tails?
Sonic 2. Sonic and Knuckles.
Narwhal Wasabi.
Here's a fun fact about Tails. His real name?
Miles.
Miles Prower.
A.K.A.
Miles per hour.
I never knew that.
Miles Prower.
It is. We should just start calling him Miles.
I had a next door neighbor named Miles.
What?
I had a next door neighbor. His name was Miles.
I mean, that's cool, but.
Was his last name Edgeworth?
No, it was.
Was his first name Desmond?
I have a brother in law named Miles.
Lil Miles?
Wow.
Big Miles. Actually, he's Miles the Third.
I have a cat named Stewie.
Do you have any family friends that aren't the third of something?
Family friends? Oh, yeah.
Okay, just check. Yeah. Do you have any family members that aren't the third of something?
Family friends? Real friends? I don't have any of those.
Oh, okay.
Is your dad, are you the third?
No.
Oh,
no.
I got so excited for a second.
Thankfully. Okay, my dad's name, and if this is your name out there, that's totally fine, but his name is Delmer.
Delmer.
Delmer?
Delmer Ward Henniger. Is my father's full name.
I am so upset that isn't your name right now.
Greg's family is so rich.
They call him Dell, though. Dell? That's a cool name. I can get behind
Does your
Del.
Family own Dell?
Dude, Del? It's a
Dell. Yes.
No, that would drive me nuts.
They own Dell Computers? Dude, you're getting a Dell.
So if I was Delmer the Third, I'd be upset.
I'd be ecstatic.
What's your middle name?
Scott.
Oh.
Gregory Scott Henniger.
That's fine.
Can we start calling you Great Scott?
Great Scott?
Yeah. Greg Scott.
Greg Scott!
Greg Scott.
Number five on the top seven most pathetic attempts to kill Sonic, the red volcano boss in Sonic Blast.
I don't even know what this game is.
Henry, do you? Or do I need to take over for this one? So, I'm just going to, you know what I'm going to do? This is written by Justin Towle, GamesRadar's resident Sonic apologist. it's probably hard enough to hit a moving target with a ball on a chain, but swinging it while bouncing 40 feet in the air every few seconds must be impossible, which is essentially what Robotnik is doing. He's bouncing up and down and swinging a ball at the same time.
Yeah, that seems
overly complicated.
Yeah. Number four, the final boss of Sonic and Knuckles with Sonic 3.
I don't know.
Oh, you mean Drew.
Drew.
Is that Knuckles' real name?
I got to compliment Justin for finding
Drew
great
real
images
fast.
For this story, but... Yeah, what it's like, it's just, I think it just falls into the other giant enemy fights where it's just a slow-moving monster that just, like, puts its hand down and says, hey, hit this three times. Hit it.
Yeah, there's no, like, you have to imagine that at some point, someone at, like, Sega has throughout the years been like, we really should just sit down and think about the way he would actually make robots to destroy Sonic. And people are like,
nah,
how about he throws a rock and Sonic jumps on it?
Mm-hmm. How about instead of that meeting, we go to Chipotle?
What is the Japanese equivalent of Chipotle? Is it that curry place we go to?
Sushi Boat, something or other?
Yeah, Go-Go Curry.
Yeah, it's Go-Go Curry.
Yeah.
Go-Go Burrito.
Go-Go.
There's an idea.
Number three, Mushroom Hill Boss from Sonic and Knuckles. So, it's actually essentially a satellite dish that controls his contraptions.
It's really weird.
Honestly, Sonic and Knuckles ain't that great. I'm going to just say it now.
Oh. Wow.
Harsh words.
Henry, my favorite thing about Sonic and Knuckles was when you would try and plug a different game on it, and it would just have that little screen where they're like, don't you do it. It's not going to work.
They're like, back the fuck off. No, I remember that.
Didn't say the magic word.
It's pretty much what it does.
Yeah.
Number two, the underground zone boss in the 8-bit Sonic 2. Now, Justin, the writer of this, Justin Towle, the UK editor, is a strong proponent of making sure everybody knows that there is a huge difference between the different, like, mm-hmm. Sonic 2 8-bit and Sonic 2, 16-bit, are essentially totally different games.
Right.
And that's something a lot of people ignore, because usually they're the same game. But.
Well, here's how I felt as a kid when I came to know Sonic on the Genesis, but then I got a Game Gear, and the 8-bit Sonic games, which were on the Master... The Game Gear is just a Master System, basically. So I got those versions of the games, and they just felt lame to me as a kid. I haven't re-explored them, but I was just like, this is just Sonic shittier. Like, Sonic can't run as fast, the levels aren't as cool, there's not as much stuff. Like,
yeah, and if this boss is any indication, which is essentially it's a giant mummy, sort of, mm-hmm. that throws, that like, kind of lazily tosses bombs at you, that if you move out of the way, it hits a different part of his body and damages him. So it's like, it's essentially slowly swinging a punch at somebody, knowing that the trajectory of the punch is going to hit yourself in the nose.
Well, everything moves slow in 8-bit Sonic games.
Yeah. And number one on the list, most embarrassing, pathetic ways Robotnik has tried to kill Sonic, is the final zone in the original Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, really? Man, fuck that place.
It was no fun to play. Obviously, it was keeping him safe because it was so hard to beat him in it. But, yeah, he just sits in an open cog, like in a machine, or like just this piston, waiting for Sonic to jump on his face. Like,
yeah, it's essentially like there's a bunch of cogs, and for some reason there's a viewing window in them where you can sit there and be like, this is awesome. I can watch him die from within the machine killing him, even though if he was just like in a different room, Sonic would have just died here.
Or with the video
camera. There would have been no Sonic 2006. If Robotnik wouldn't have been sitting within the weapon.
Man, imagine this alternate universe where Sonic ended at like 3. And then everyone still today says, you know what, series was great and we need to come back? Sonic the Hedgehog.
They gotta reboot Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, if you look back, there were a bunch of games from that era that did kind of end. And what happens is they just get mentioned in on top 7 lists on Games Radar. Yeah. Like, you look back at, like, Kid Chameleon was super well received back then, and it holds up kind of well, and they just never made another one.
Kid Chameleon.
Burp Man. Wasn't that what he was
Booger
called?
Man?
Booger Man. Booger
Well, they're kickstarting a sequel.
Jam and Earl.
Yep.
Did you guys, we did a, there was a feature on that this week about all those old school Kickstarters, but it makes me feel a little sad when they fail, like the Mutant Football League.
Mm-hmm. That failed pretty ridiculous. It does kind of feel like, it feels like an old guy, like an old friend asking you for money, and then you see him fail, and it's like, sorry, man, I just want to hang out with you anymore.
Well, I think that game was gutsy asking for $750,000.
Like, yeah.
How much did it get?
Like 114.
Wow. I was about to throw out a random guess, but Henry knows it down to the penny.
Yep. Well, same with, James Pond just failed, as did Dizzy the Egg, which I had to laugh
Dizzy.
At.
So. And no one is surprised.
Yeah. Brits just, even the Brits couldn't come out in force for Dizzy the Egg. Same with Shadow of the Eternals. The like,
Shadow of the Eternals failed twice, and now they're just like, fine.
We
get you. We don't want this game either.
Right. We thought you wanted Eternal Darkness too.
Guess never not. Ask for it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, isn't there an indie? Isn't a Hinterland? I feel like there's an indie game coming out which just has the insanity meter pretty much.
I'm not sure.
Which is honestly all anybody wants to return from Eternal Darkness. Yeah. Like if Dennis Dyack just was like, I'm done making games, I'm just going to license out the insanity meter, everyone would be like, oh, that's fine. Yeah. I'll take the insanity meter in, like, Madden. That sounds wonderful. Yeah.
Well, once you just kill, like,
it's a feature idea, by the way.
You completely kill your fan base and just, you know, burn them so many times.
Yeah.
How can you get money?
Greg just realized he forgot his wedding ring.
Then you feel naked, don't you?
It's strange, because I'm watching both of you at the same time have your rings off of your fingers and just playing with the ring, and then I realized,
We've pointed out before that San Francisco law dictates that if two men who are married forget their wedding rings on the same day, they are officially gay married.
Yeah.
So I thought that was going to happen today, but it looks like Tom, didn't you forget your wedding ring like 2 days ago?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
It felt
that almost happened.
Tom and I were
got gay married.
Yeah.
Seems like you guys are contemplating infidelities, I'd say, with all your forgetting wedding rings.
I mean, I can be regular married and gay married.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
that's normal.
I had to get rid of my original
wife
wedding ring.
Yes.
Well, and the wife, because she was a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that bitch mama yours.
Excuse me, Tom.
I mean, baby mama. Sorry.
I don't like her, but you are not allowed to say that about my ex-wife.
Sorry. I just get so upset sometimes.
Well, you know what? It's an upsetting
what?
Tale.
What?
Although I am going, so I'll be on vacation next week. I am finally going to see my kids. I haven't seen them since last March.
Yep.
So,
are you bringing them any
forward.
Gifts?
Yeah, actually, they're both, one of them, Aiden, is really, really into games right now, so I'm going to bring him one.
Does Aiden like sweet, sweet Arnett's?
Oh, his young, beautiful little face is too small for some badass Arnett's.
Yeah, he's
got
a bit of a pinhead.
But, excuse me,
Tom.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I mean, I was just commenting that his head is a little small.
You know
Zayden,
what?
I'm
your
sorry.
Head's a little
I was
small.
Just trying to. I was trying to agree with you.
Anyways,
that they wouldn't fit.
All I'm hoping is we have a nice time with their fuckhead mom.
I mean, has Cindy met them yet?
No, she'll meet them for the first time.
Oh,
so.
That's great.
Yeah, she's looking forward to.
Do you think they'll? I mean, I know a lot of people in Michigan are racist. So, do you think that your kids will, you know, feel a little bit of?
They'll think she's delivering Chinese
them,
food.
They'll
I guess.
Well, they'll probably be.
Boy,
that's really fucked up, Greg.
This is Michigan we're talking about.
Yes. Jesus Christ.
I can't believe that guy. How,
you know,
he,
honestly,
how could he insult the Midwest like that?
I mean, he's not far off, but that's very
not
rude
his
to
place.
Say. I don't know that they've actually seen an Asian person before. Yeah.
We'll and what happens. I said was super rude.
Is that like when a dog will see a black person for the first time and just start right. barking?
We were yes. at a party the other day, and Sophia was like, our new guy, Anthony, came over, and Sophia was like, oh, thank God he's not barking at Anthony. He hates black people. And I'm like, whoa, yeah. Sophia, even if it's true, keep that under your hat.
She didn't whisper it.
No, she didn't.
No, she said it at full volume.
Yeah.
It's really funny because my parents had a dog. They lived in Flint when they just first got married. They lived in kind of a shitty part of Flint, which is, as we know, the most dangerous city in the United States, and had a dog named Harry who was extremely racist. That dog would actually chase after black people until they could escape. Now this song brings me back.
Are you dressed in preparation?
I can't wait to show Cindy this.
I had to censor it for a second.
That was good timing on your censorship.
What was the censor? Hanging and banging?
No.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Henniger?
So, anyways.
That's it for the first segment of Radio Radar Episode 60. We'll be right back with the news. Welcome back to the second segment, Radio Radar. We're going to jump into the news. Pretty crazy week. Watch Dogs, which I think is probably was number one on our list of most anticipated games of the year.
Oh, fuck. It's still number one on the list. Damn it. We got to change that.
No. Now it's a funny joke. It's quite all right.
Well,
so Henry,
it wasn't just Watch Dogs.
And
it
more
was Watch Dogs,
Crew.
The Crew and Drive Club.
Yeah, and Drive Club. So, Henry, what do you think of all these delays?
I don't like them, but I think...
not a fan.
But I've come to...
No, sir, I don't like it.
Not one bit.
But I've... from a certain angle, I'm kind of glad they're getting delayed because I only have so many hours, guys. And this launch of the new systems and all that shit, like, I'd rather savor Watch Dogs in April or May.
It certainly makes
something.
Our jobs a lot easier. Mm-hmm. That's like three games that we would have had to review.
Well, the Crew is going to be next year anyway, I think. But it was going to be early next year.
Well, the Crew is delayed right out of fiscal 2014. Yep. So that
I mean, when I played it at E3, I drove through several walls. You know, as you can see in our video preview of it, which made the developer very uncomfortable.
Well, I can't blame him.
Meanwhile, with Drive Club, like, it comes out, it was going to come out like 3 weeks before Gran Turismo 6. And so.
And this right before Forza.
Yeah, so really, I think it was kind of having an identity crisis. Yeah.
But I feel like now, so I mean, Xbox, Microsoft and Sony are kind of going head to head, and they have their different. So you have. So you each console has the game that the developers think is really cool, but nobody really cares of in Knack and Rise. And then they both have. Then you have Dead Rising sort of going up against Killzone. Mm-hmm. So each has their sort of franchise thing. And then there was both driving games. Mm-hmm. Now there's just sort of I guess the comparison to the driving game is in terms of, like, I guess they could just have, like, all of their indies against it.
Yeah. Well, so with Drive Club, when they lose that, it's the part of it, they were going to give away Drive Club at launch. Yeah. So that's been replaced with Contrast,
which is amazing.
Pretty cool.
To me.
Yeah.
I'm
very,
very surprised.
A great game.
Which
that
one is Contrast?
That was the Shadows one game. It's now free for
Is that the one that you
Plus
played
members.
And said it was like one of the best games at PAX?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Is it going to hit launch?
Yeah.
Yep.
For free.
Yeah. I was actually talking to Charlie Barrett, X Games Radar, about this.
C-Bar.
And kind of talking, and because he was saying, like, well, the all those indie games look cool, but do they really matter? And I started remembering back to early in the Xbox generation, nobody was excited for...
Arcade games?
Yeah, well, even just, like, nobody was excited for Geometry Wars. Yeah. But when it was available, everybody lost their shit about it. And I kind of see next-gen XBLA and PSN games or whatever probably filling that role where you're not going to hear the buzz, and at the time it's not going to make a difference, but word of mouth is going to have that pushing people to buy those consoles when it's like, yeah, you can get this ridiculous, awesome $7 game, or this one's free, or whatever.
Well, in contrast, just seems like such a cool concept too. Like,
oh, I thought you were saying like in contrast, like compared to.
Oh no, the game.
Watch Dogs though is the one that hurt the most. Like, I think I am surprised that Ubisoft seemed to wanted to make it their next tentpole thing. Like they. It was launching alongside Assassin's Creed, and I could see them even doing that kind of thing they did with Prince of Persia, where, like, Prince of Persia was the last-gen franchise for them.
Sure.
And then they made a new one but put it out alongside Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed became the new franchise, and they dropped Prince of Persia. So I wonder if they were thinking, like, oh, Watch Dogs could replace Assassin's Creed, maybe.
I mean, I bet you it was more like when Watch Dogs was revealed. I remember during the whole thing, people, like everyone who watched the trailer or the reveal was like, oh shit, they're finally making a modern day Assassin's Creed. Because it just looks a lot like a modern day Assassin's Creed at first. I think that they maybe, I mean, there's probably been, it was probably a lot of reasons they delayed it. But one of them was probably like when we put Prince of Persia against Assassin's Creed, you're looking at a third person adventure platformer versus an open world huge parkour game. There's for Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs look a lot of like there's the crossover
one
of
is
populations.
Modern and one isn't.
Yeah, the population crossover, the fan base is going to be the same, and I just don't know if it was worth them double dipping.
Well, it's not like they make so many games that they can afford to really release two games that are very similar, basically back to back.
And especially if they're looking to make this into another mega franchise, like they have to, it has to do well, and if it can't be overshadowed by Assassin's Creed 4.
No. So especially if Assassin's Creed 4, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be super good, but Assassin's Creed 3 was a letdown, but if 4 is like a huge return to form and they're realizing, like, now that all the pieces are together, they're like, wait a minute, we actually, like, this is actually really good. They don't, that's going to overshadow it even more.
Yeah.
Like, if it's, maybe they were kind of like, well, if Assassin's Creed 4 is kind of sucking close to release, maybe then we make the decision to just double down and have two of them. But now, if they're looking at it like, hey, it worked.
Though, I wonder how this will fit, Watch Dogs will now fit into the annualization machine, because if it was going to be fall this year, they could put it out fall next year. But now if it is spring, it either has to, you know, come out next year in spring, or they could take 18 months with number two.
Well, that's what they did sort of. Assassin's Creed 1 to 2 wasn't a one-year turnaround.
No, it was two. Yeah,
so I bet you, I mean, I think they probably make the first one, and now it's almost like, well, okay, we have a year and a half to make the next one instead of a year.
Well, they could just think about it as their big Easter release, like that it would be the next, I don't know, early-ish year.
That's true, and also they have their yearly open-world adventure game in Assassin's Creed, and if they don't think that's going anywhere, why would they want two of the same genre at the same
time? Yeah, that makes sense, because then they can spread their income out pretty heavily instead of having to have their two potentially biggest franchises competing.
And I don't know if they've said anything yet, but they had that bundle, the PS4 bundle with Watch Dogs.
They have talked about that.
They said that they're going to get your PS4 on time, but you're not going to get Watch Dogs. They said you're going to get another game, but they
probably
didn't announce
Assassin's Creed.
Probably.
I mean, if I had to guess. Yeah. But yeah, that was a bit like one of the big PS4 SKUs came with Watch Dogs.
And people were like, oh, shit, I guess I can't even get my PS4 now.
Can you imagine that conversation that Ubisoft had to have with Sony? It's like, so,
I know
here's
you sold
the thing.
Hundreds of thousands of these bundles.
I mean, I'm guessing that they're just going to be like, listen, none of those people are like of like maybe like 5% of those people, if they're told, by the way, it doesn't come with Watch Dogs, it now comes with Assassin's Creed, are going to be like, no.
Yeah,
it's pretty, I mean, at this point it's very similar gameplay.
Have you met the game playing audience?
I mean,
kind of overreact.
Yeah,
at
but
the
they're
smallest
not, yeah, that's true.
So with both games. Watch Dogs and Drive Club, I think it's also interesting that they got delayed like at almost the last minute, like with a month left.
Right. Well, I'm both, sure they were just like cramming like crazy.
Yeah. But they finally realized, like, no, this is just, it doesn't work.
They should learn from Crytek and just buy more Crunch dinners.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's something we should talk about.
Does anyone remember
the
actual
Rise facts?
Yeah, before we get onto that,
I have it open right now.
To Henry's point, it's like, these are the first installments in two brand new franchises, and it's like, you can't just have a shitty opening anymore.
Yeah. They may as well just give up.
That would basically kill the entire
And game. Ubisoft is all about, especially like Ubisoft isn't, and Henry, you mentioned this before, they're not in the game making business. They're in the
franchise
or
the
empire building.
Yeah,
I got angry that I forgot to tell Henry to insert that into an article. Right. Like, got super upset last night.
Empire business.
But I had heard that mentioned before in a negative way about that company, because They said, like, talking about some game that wasn't supposed to be a dynasty. They were explaining, like, a lot of people just made these games that, you know, weren't planned to be franchises or dynasties or multimedia things. And then the person tweeted, like, translation, people used to make games. But not
yeah,
anymore.
But I mean, that's like that would be almost like attacking Marvel for not making exclusively one-shot comics.
I know, but you miss the your more innocent days. Yeah.
So what's the Rise? What
the
was the
Rise
exact
fact? Okay, so Rise Game at Rise Game on Twitter, the official Twitter for Rise, tweeted on October 15th. By the time hashtag Rise ships for hashtag Xbox One, we will have served the crunching team more than 11,500 dinners throughout development. Hashtag Rise Facts.
So Tom, can you explain what crunch time is for people who may not know?
Crunch time is basically when you as a human being cease to exist and you become a human machine in which your life, every second of your life, say for, I don't know, a couple hours, which you'd spend on sleeping, is spent on working on the game.
Yes.
So as to get the product out the door.
It's a symptom of people not being able to get things done as quickly as they think, but being thrall to a deadline anyway.
Right. People being told that, hey, this is how long it's going to take you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to like this game must be done in 12 months. Mm-hmm. I know that physically you don't have 12 months in 40-hour work weeks, right, but you do in 90-hour work right weeks.
When you hear through people that who I've heard through people who work in development that like crunch time used to be, you know, like the last month, the last couple
right
weeks, but it just kept growing and growing until they try to make it normal and they say to you like
look,
technically
you're working on a game.
Yeah, and
you
then they
expect a crunch.
They would tell you like yeah technically you only have to work 5 days a week, but if you don't work 6 days a week, don't expect to be part of this team after closing or whatever. Like,
and we're probably going to lay you off anyways. So.
Yeah, you'll probably be laid off at the end anyway.
It'll be a coin flip either way, but we're going to use a double-sided coin if you don't come in on Sundays.
So many people replied to it with just like, why would you like brag about this? You shouldn't have this big of crunch time. Like, let these people go home.
Fun fact, they're actually their staff is 11,300 people, and they only had one day of crunch.
One response was, this is disgusting. A well-managed studio wouldn't need to be crunching in the first place. Do not take pride in this fact.
Hashtag Rise Facts.
Yeah, hashtag Rise Facts.
So speaking of
layoffs,
exactly what we were just talking about, mm-hmm, 2K Marin layoffs.
Ooh.
Because Ryan gave their game a bad score.
Yeah, Ryan. Come on, Ryan.
Games Radar. Way to go, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan.
I gave it a higher score than John did.
Oh, whoops. Well, you both are guilty. You're both guilty.
So, yeah, 2K Marin. I've heard the entire studio pretty much.
2K will only as of this recording, 2K will only recognize that some layoffs happened at 2K Marin, but they aren't saying how many.
And to clarify, this is the developers that made XCOM the Bureau Declassified.
The Bureau XCOM. XCOM.
The Bureau XCOM Declassified.
They were one of five developers that made BioShock 2, but
I visited their office recently. Brand new office.
Really?
Like super fancy digs.
Well, I heard they were all going to be picked up by Rod Ferguson's new studio.
Ooh. But
just what I heard.
I get it.
I don't.
I don't know who Rod Ferguson is.
Don't worry about it.
But yet, they did good work. It's just sad that the Bureau did take them a long time.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was their fault because it sounds like 2K. I mean, it sounds like 2K probably had some issues with making up their mind of what they wanted the Bureau to be, especially when other XCOM started coming together and they realized that that was going to be a success and they didn't want to make something that was going to compromise that franchise by being too similar or too different.
Mm-hmm.
They had to put they put their money then on the Firaxis instead.
Right.
They made the better XCOM reboot. And then just to have not wasted money, they pushed the Bureau out the door.
Seems like they almost accidentally made a better XCOM game.
Well, I mean, if I have money to bet on someone, I'm going to bet on Firaxis. Just in any instance.
Well, at least if you're going to tell them
a race. Is Sid Meier still at Firaxis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he?
I don't
I've heard
know
he is.
I mean, it's kind of one of those things where
Sid Meier's Firaxis.
Usually you just, you know, hear Sid Meier's name on
because he
games.
Recently came out with, like, Sid Meier's random-ass cell phone game.
Sid Meier's Tom Clancy's Firaxis.
What does Firaxis mean?
Firax. I don't know.
Is.
In,
six.
Yeah, Ace Patrol.
From, you know, Central Europe.
Firaxis. For alligator. We've had this conversation.
There's fire on the axis.
As far as I can tell, he's still there.
Okay. I just think it's too bad that we also lose another, like, Bay Area developer. Like, that's after already losing LucasArts this year.
Rest in peace, LucasArts.
If 2K Marin was to completely shut down, like, that's a another terrible, like, wound to the Bay Area's development scene.
Yeah. So, another, I guess this this next story isn't technically about a layoff yet, but in 8 months it will be.
Oh, poor Beanox, that's mean.
So, Amazing Spider-Man 2 was announced.
Uh-huh. The game, not the
game.
Feature film.
So,
I want to talk about this just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
As he adjusts himself in his chair.
On the positive side, I think this could be the one Beanox finally figures it out. For one thing, web swinging attaches a web to a building.
Does it?
Just
that's actually the reason I haven't played the last few.
Yeah.
Not even joking.
So, and it's
Beanox. That's another good Pokemon name.
Beanox.
That is good.
So this is, you're arguing the game that takes Beanox from Beanox level to Treyarch.
Yeah.
Where they will then be given a bigger franchise.
But wait, how many chances has Beanox had making Spider Game?
Spider Game.
You didn't have to correct yourself. That was
Spider
Game.
Spider Solitaire was great game.
This will be their fifth.
Okay, and so they need five tries to get
been
it right.
Worse each time.
Oh my goodness!
So they made Shattered Dimensions, which was like a promising Spider-Man. It was really just
Shattered Dimensions.
It was four
Shattered Dimensions.
Shattered Dimensions. It was four all right Spider-Man games tied up into one. And I liked it. It was nice. It was the most fan service-y Spider-Man game.
Right,
the next
one
was Edge of Time, which should really be called The Contract Says We Ship a Game. Because
that was the subtitle.
Yeah, it's Spider-Man is stuck in a building the whole time, only fights robots and Venom. He has one boss fight the whole game.
Who's the voice of Spider-Man in that one?
That one, I think, was Neil Patrick.
That was Neil, yeah. Neil Patrick.
Then he won a Spike TV VGA for that role, and it's like, really? Wow.
And then that was followed by, I guess it's only
didn't
their fourth game.
Didn't Katie Sackhoff appear in that one, too?
Galactica?
I know she was in.
Oh, yeah. No, she was Black Cat. She was Black Cat in the future. She was future
Black
Cat.
Who does she play in Battlestar?
She's
six.
Ugh.
No, she's not six. I'm thinking of a different
Starbuck.
I'm thinking of Edie's voice from Mass
Starbuck
Effect.
Starbuck was Cindy's favorite character.
I like her.
I did not like
I don't
Starbuck.
Like Starbuck.
I don't like Starbuck either.
I find her incredibly grating.
I don't know if you know this about this podcast, but we've described this podcast as the sexy Starbuck of podcasts.
We did do that.
On
I don't
the first episode.
Why.
That is too
the reason
bad.
Was we
Greg
were not,
and I just
we're not,
high-fived
we're not a,
in our
we're not necessarily a reboot.
Yeah.
We're a reimagining.
Right, right. Oh,
like the Battlestar Galactica show.
Originally, Starbuck was a dude.
Yeah, so we're the sexy Starbuck of a podcast.
Sexy Starbuck of Talk Radar.
Yeah, Starbuck
you know who
is
else
not
I
a
don't
good
like?
Character.
Anna Lucia from Lost.
Thank God I'm not alone.
She's the worst.
She's fucking terrible.
No. No.
You were on Lost, too.
Which one was Anna Lucia?
I thankfully didn't run into her. She was the...
Or else I would have fucking punched her in the face.
She was that... Michelle Rodriguez, the Mexican chick that was like, I'm taking over your crew now.
Not the hot one.
The hot one.
She is hot,
Michelle Rodriguez is hot.
She's well, I mean...
She's also bi-curious.
Who was the other...
Oh, right. She came out to that.
Who was the female lead? Yeah, she was all right.
Yeah.
Who was the female lead?
Kate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Kate is an attractive lady.
I don't like
Evangeline Lilly.
Evangeline Lilly.
She's very
Lilly.
Beautiful.
Also known for
be in
being
the,
in...
She's going to be in the new Hobbit movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't like the intrusion of this heteronormative
wind.
Male gaze
Sorry.
Into the podcast.
Sorry. That, well, we were agreeing that they were very beautiful.
I mean, we
could
talk
about Carrie Fisher if you want.
Well, we could talk... Who's the lead in Lost?
Jack?
Jack. He beats women.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Matthew Fox?
He has
women?
He has
oh, yeah,
a
yeah,
record
yeah.
of beating women.
I hope he's...
It's literally one of his favorite things to do.
The Hobbit guy called him out on Twitter once. For
really?
Beating women.
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Or Martin Freeman?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
The Hobbit?
No, the guy who was in the original...
Peter Jackson?
Peter Jackson, who was on that show.
Frodo.
Ian Holm?
Elijah Wood?
No, Elijah Wood's almost Elijah Wood.
Samwise Genji?
Oh, no, you're talking about he plays Charlie on Lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
He's a really cool guy, by the way. You know who's like not a really cool guy?
The guy
but my favorite one of my favorite characters?
John Locke.
John Locke is apparently a dirty old man.
I was like
talking to some of the women on the cast, and they're just like,
Of course you were.
You should, well, like extras.
Of course you were.
Extras. Uh-huh. And they're like 40-year-old women.
You were
women.
Basically doing the same thing that John Locke was doing.
No. These are like,
you creepy asshole.
I'm done telling the story now.
I feel like you shouldn't tell that story anyway. That that could get us in hot water.
With John Locke?
With who?
He's allegedly dirty pervert. He was essentially Satan in the show.
Right.
Front page on TMZ.
He was. Well,
Until he became that, he was an awesome character, though.
He was.
Yeah.
Bayall.
So this is why I didn't watch the Lost, because it sounded like nothing ever paid off. And then this was how it was encapsulated to me after this finale. It was people go to the island. They're like, why is this island magic? And then at the end, it's like, because it's magic.
That's like, basically what happened. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
bullshit.
So are you recommending to our audience they don't watch Lost?
Yes.
Don't tell them what they can't do, Hank.
I'm recommending to my audience that you do watch Lost.
You know who I want
to
see?
You're a little too
movies?
Close to the project.
I am,
Desmond.
Actually. Desmond. Ian, or no, Henry
McKellen.
Cusack, I think is his name.
Sure.
John Cusack.
Awesome guy. Not his real voice, by the way.
Good guy.
He puts on. He puts on a new. He puts on a new voice.
Is he the guy who was in Congo as well in Oz or
Congo? I don't think so.
Okay, he wasn't Adebisi on Oz.
He's a good-looking man.
No,
I gotta say,
he is handsome.
Yeah. So him and the guy that plays Saeed.
Saeed.
He is just a British guy. Has a very British accent, but in the show.
Wait, was he the guy who was on The Wire as well?
I don't think
Henry,
so.
You just have to watch Lost. We can't answer these questions for you.
Saeed, I want to talk about better shows. If you haven't seen The Wire, don't watch Lost.
Wire sounds like
definitely watch The Wire.
I got bored of The Wire halfway through the third season.
But you're the type of liberal pansy they're aiming for. You should love it.
I don't know.
You're the NPR listening.
I do listen to NPR.
Berkeley bubble living types.
Terry Gross. Yeah.
Bubble living. I'm Terry Gross. That's gross.
And that's gross.
That's so Terry Gross.
I'm sorry. Is that a reference, or did you make that up?
We've been saying that around the office for a long time.
Yeah. It's fun to do that. It's fun. It's like the whole like Glenn Close, but no cigar. Like it's like it's funny to use people's names when they have those
it's
words.
It's really it's a funny thing to do.
Right. It's enjoyable.
You should try it. Try it at home. Please. Go up to your sister,
stop him
or your
speaking.
Mom. And be like, hey, that's
Henry.
Glenn
how's
Close,
WWE?
But no cigar.
Well, WWE is almost out, but I got to play one of its new modes in a preview recently, which was the Beat the Streak mode.
Beat the Streak.
Beat so the Undertaker guys, he's pretty cool.
I like the Undertaker.
I remember watching him.
Beat the Heat with the Digi Beat was a Digimon commercial in the summer.
So the Undertaker has been. The Undertaker's been active for...
Thank you.
Undertaker's been active for like 22 years.
That's weird to me.
You know, I remember watching him because there was a brief period of time in my life where I was trying to get into wrestling.
You want
to
get back into it with me?
I've been thinking about it.
I don't really want to.
We all want to, secretly.
Secretly.
Not me.
I had a good time during the Attitude Era.
But I just remember watching The Undertaker and being like, man, that guy is really cool.
Yeah.
Well, now he's like 90.
And Kane?
So
he's like...
Sting.
Did you ever see when they
double choke slam people through a table?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Here's the funny thing about Kane.
We're bonding right now.
The performer who plays Kane, Glenn Jacobs, is a hardcore libertarian.
That doesn't
heavy supporter of Rand Paul, and he is considering running for Senate or House of Representatives.
But didn't he have sex with, like, Undertaker's dead wife or something?
No, he had...
What?
No, Triple H implied that he had sex with Katie Vick, a woman who died in a car crash.
Wow.
If we must remember the Katie Vick storyline.
This is getting dark.
But also, Kane did kill Undertaker's entire family. He burned it down.
Wow.
But then
it seems like he'd be in jail for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why don't they
not wildly
do
popular.
Any cops watch wrestling?
We ever
it's surprising
seen those...
to me how ugly Kane is.
Aww.
Have you seen the man?
No.
Glenn what?
Glenn Jacobs.
He is
Carrie Fisher.
Really ugly man.
Well, just look at him on the cover for the film See No Evil.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He is hideous.
Let's see. Yes. Let's see.
He's just a blob.
Hold on. Yeah.
Well, anyway.
It's shocking. I understand the mask.
The Undertaker, in his long career,
Whoa.
Has...
Let me say it again.
He has a record that is bigger than anybody's. Like, he has never been defeated at WrestleMania.
Hideous.
Yeah.
Oh,
undefeated.
Undertaker is 21-0 at WrestleMania.
Do you think he'll ever lose?
You know, I think he will. I bet his retirement match, he will lose that. Because
you think so?
That's a classy thing to do in wrestling. You lose your retirement match. You give somebody else, an up-and-coming star, the honor of having beaten you and make you retire.
I see.
I think he'd do that.
That makes sense. Because it's like, all right, now you, I'm trampolining you, spring vaulting you.
Yeah, leapfrog. Yeah, it's so you get to do that in a game mode now where you can face The Undertaker in the Beat the Streak mode where you have to face Undertaker. And
so do you think this is like they're setting up to phase out Undertaker?
No, I think it's just that he only wrestles at WrestleMania. You never see him any other time of the year than the month ahead
really?
Of WrestleMania.
So he has like a once a year gig that probably makes him enough to.
It's because that one match he has
live
to
comfortably the rest of that year.
Recover.
Also, you're saying it's a classy thing to do for them to like phase him out, but knowing the WWE, they're probably going to do something where it's like someone pulled his pants down and started spanking him just because they can't have any dignity in that league.
I would hope he. Personally, I would want him to retire undefeated. I want that record to just be intact. But so you get to face him in the mode, and as they explained it to me, people, you know, the hardest of core WWE game fans, the hardest core ones, they never think.
You'll know in a second.
They never think the games are difficult enough. And so Undertaker's Beat the Streak mode is the most difficult because not only is Undertaker impossible, does he reverse everything almost like. Take a ton of damage and not stop.
Keep going.
But the Undertaker is also magic. Like, they integrate. That's what my favorite part is. They integrate Undertaker magic, like where he can turn off all the house lights and then disappear and then reappear behind you and have a bolt of lightning strike in the ring.
So he's like, essentially just a genie.
Yeah,
actually,
an unbeatable genie.
He might be Satan.
He's a demon.
He's a demon.
And then there's also...
Is this the no chance?
No.
No.
Oh, play that one next.
Ryan was just crotch chopping to the song.
And then
fittingly.
There's also defend the streak mode where it's basically just a gauntlet where you play as Undertaker and you see how many guys in a row you can beat while retaining damage.
And then lastly,
they have a bit where it's just the history of Undertakers at WrestleMania. But on two of his 21 wins, they have to leave the opponent blank because they didn't get the rights to them.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
But, so you're just going to play as, like, random person?
Well, you just are not going to fight him.
Do you have to beat him in the same way you beat
rage?
That he was actually... Or does he have to beat people
rage,
in the same way, like, in the last game?
No, it's just a pin.
Okay.
Man, I got to see Vince McMahon come out to this song at SummerSlam this year.
Nice.
He introduced it because he was like... He was like, oh, our new deal with 2K is so exciting, blah, 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 blah. But you got to see, when he first came out, they play this song, he walks to the thing.
Does he do like the full, was he in character?
No, he was not in character. No, but so he walks up to the thing, this is playing, and it just keeps playing as he starts saying his first words. And then he's standing there waiting for it to stop, and then he just says, you can stop the music now. he puts on real promoter... his real promoter face, and like,
he's
you can
a
stop
fucking
the music
genius
now,
that
it.
He figured out the key to making the ultimate villain as CEO of wrestling was to be like, you know who everyone hates? Their boss. And then he's just like, I can be their boss. And then just went all in, got like ripped, and started wrestling for real.
Yeah. You're far.
So
and
good.
It's probably like he could take all
your
the roids
flower?
He wants.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
No, he's famous for having
your
the most
flower.
Absurd over the top. You're fired.
Oh, you're fired.
But he says it while gargling marbles, essentially.
gargling marbles.
Gargle marbles.
The marble gargler.
He's a marble gargler.
Marble garger.
That needs to be a new username. The marble garbler.
Oh.
love how you got the king. Woo!
I just
in the background.
I just want him to give. He gets right up close to a wrestler's face when he screams that. I just want him to give the wrestler a passionate kiss.
And then Stone Cold do like a Stone Cold
or a sweet kiss, which would confuse them by Pokemon logic.
Did you see that MMA fight where a kiss?
Wasn't that Anderson Silva?
It was.
He does that sometimes. Anderson Silva will do that thing where like the two guys get right in each other's face, and he just like get all angry, and then he just goes like and gives him a little kiss on the lips, and the guys are always like, "What the fuck?" And freak out, and he just has the biggest smile, like, "Got ya."
I saw that. That happened in a Japanese fight between Heath Herring was the American, and then the Japanese guy kissed him in the thing, just like smooch, like, and then Heath Herring went like he just like shook his head like man, and he punched him.
Oh yeah,
out. Oh,
he decked him.
And then when and the ref was like, "Huh, what?" And then Heath Herring just went to the corner and was like, "You saw, man. I had to." Yeah. Like that was his defense. Like, my homophobia is my defense.
I had to do it.
He kissed me. I mean, come on.
This is America. We were going to fight anyway.
I'm tweeting the picture on the Radio Radar Twitter, GR Radio Radar, so you can see a picture of Anderson Silva. Just getting up close and friendly with another. They're just having some.
See,
having
Anderson
a moment.
Silva had nobody would have the ball if they tried to sucker punch Anderson Silva. He would just duck it.
Unless he was pretending to get punched, in which case he may actually get knocked the fuck out. Like what happened?
Yeah.
To
whoops.
What happened?
His tactic. I think I've shown you videos where he'll dodge attacks. He'll put his arms down and just kind of like shrug and like jump around and let you. Because he's really good at counterpunching, so like you can hit him a few times. He doesn't fucking care, and then he'll knock you out. And that's how he's always won. So he took
it
a little too far.
Yeah.
And a guy hit him, and he kind of pretended to be dizzy, like he did like an, "Oh, you hit me." And then the guy's just like, "Fuck," knocked him the fuck out.
Wow. Won the fight.
And won the fight. Like, real. And like, people were at the time were like, "That's so disrespectful that he was pretending to." And it's like, that's a tactic. You try to lure them in, but
backfired.
It backfired.
He was baiting.
Hard. Yeah.
That's awesome.
In league.
He was essentially Baron baiting, and he got knocked the fuck out.
He got knocked the fuck
out. He got aced.
Baron, sometimes when you Baron bait, you get knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
So
anyway, WWE's out at the end of the month. You'll probably see a review round then, guys.
Yeah.
Wink.
There's that the same image that I just tweeted. There's the same thing with the caption of "Still a better love story than Twilight," with them up close and kissing.
Oh, beautiful.
Very nice. And if you're wondering about which characters are going to be in it, you could just Google WWE 14 roster.
2K14 roster.
2K14 roster. And then click on 60 slides.
Mm-hmm. Please.
All
do.
Of them.
No, 80.
80 slides.
Go through them.
If,
all of them.
Yes, if you would be so kind.
And you know what happens to Henry
kindly.
If you don't click on all 80 of those slides? Welcome back to the third segment of Radio Radar episode 60. We have some reviews to talk about, but first we want to kind of call back to a feature that went up on Games Radar this week. Dave Houghton did Google poetry for video game characters.
Beautiful article.
Yeah.
Very fun. And
we should read some of those to kind of get the juices flowing.
Yeah, let me get that.
I don't actually like the phrase "juices flowing" now that I say it.
The juices flowing?
Yeah.
I mean, what
it only takes me
loose?
7 seconds to
Where
get
do you
the
think
juices flowing.
What's your least favorite phrase like that? Mine's "blew your wad."
I've heard my mom say that before.
What?
And I'm like, I don't think you understand the connotation there.
It's
and then she went, "No, I do," and then just stared at you with anger.
Another uncomfortable phrase is "raw dog."
Raw dog?
Yes.
I mean, there's the raw dog draft.
Yeah, that's a thing.
No, I know. I just don't like that
Ryan,
phrase.
What about this phrase?
Yeah, so that is the sound equivalent to raw dog to me.
So Google Poetry, is you go to Google, you let autocorrect take its toll. Usually you just do, like, name is, and then you get results like this one. Luigi is better than Mario. Luigi is the Pope. Luigi is dead. Luigi is gay.
It's got a nice ring to it.
Or we have a...
Can we get some, like...
Here's one for... Do I need music?
A nice backbeat.
Hold on, yeah. Fill time for a second.
As if we're in, like, a coffee
Holding
shop.
Holding Out for a Hero might be a good song for this.
Oh, you mean the Shrek 2 version?
No, the Shrek 2 version is
far
way worse.
Far superior version of Holding Out for a Hero.
I didn't even realize there are two different versions.
Because you didn't listen to the link I sent
Yeah,
you.
The Shrek 2 version kind of sucks.
Yes. It doesn't suck.
Yes, it does, Greg.
You gave it literally 1 minute and said, I'm not listening to this anymore.
If I have
in
to
a
wait
minute
a
song,
minute for a song to get good,
if I say, Ryan, spend 3 minutes on this suggestion I'm giving you, you don't even give me 1 minute
Which
of
it. Which version are you even talking about?
I don't know who made
the
it.
The original by Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler version is the only version.
I like the Fur version.
Listening.
Fur.
Okay.
I have random jazz.
Okay, good.
Fur.
So we got... Link is a girl. Uh-huh. Link is a womanizer. Ooh. Link is a jerk. Link, is that your Wang? Link, that is not underlined. Link, that is scary. Link, in that email. And then Link is left-handed. Link is hot. Link is a girl. Link is not ready. And my favorite one is Snake.
Yes, the Let's, Snake one is amazing.
Snake wants answers. Snake wants to eat owner. Snake wants to eat me. Snake wants to get out.
It's beautiful.
So we went really, and did them for ourselves. I'll go first. Let me just get it up again.
That's what she said.
Fart noises. That was a little nervous toot. Sorry.
Was that real?
No. All right. Somebody else go first because mine's being stupid.
All right. I'll go first.
All right.
Tom is a mushroom farmer. Tom is gay.
Well.
Tom is a girl. Mm. Tom is awesome.
It ends right. ends on a high note.
All right, I got mine.
That's beautiful.
Cooper is a racist. Cooper is gay. Cooper is the best Manning brother. And then the last one is copper is a metal.
Oh, God. All right, I'll read
so
mine
does
now.
Everyone always search for is someone gay?
I guess
apparently.
Every name. Well, let's find out, Ryan.
I call this poem Ryan Is. So here we go. Ryan is gay song. Ryan is a poop head. Ryan is a narc. Ryan is Wilfred.
Wilfred.
Thank you.
Yeah, snaps.
All right, what about you, Greg? Do you have one?
Hold
on, I got
mine
you.
In front of me. All
right.
Mine's pretty good, I think.
Greg is not an alien. Greg is not an alien SNL. Mm-hmm. Greg is gay.
Obviously.
Greg is not an alien video. I'm Perfect. Guessing there was some kind of skit we missed on SNL.
Take away, wait, do you have Greg is A or Greg is?
Greg is.
Do Greg is A.
Greg is a garden gnome. Greg is a retard. Mm-hmm. Greg is a loser. Greg is a douche.
Oh my God, they're all accurate. Every single
what?
One.
Is that the last one? Greg's yeah. a douche? On mine there was a fourth one. I can't remember.
There is four there.
Garden gnome, retard, loser, douche.
All right.
I don't know what the fourth
that's,
is.
No, maybe that's, not in that
Greg
order.
Greg is a friendless
that's,
is what the last
that's
one
me to
said.
A T.
Henry, do you have yours?
Yes.
Hold on.
I have mine.
All right.
Okay.
This isn't jazz, by the way, though it's
not
called
even a
jazz
little bit.
In the headline.
Henry is the killer. Henry is Peter Pan. Henry is short for Henry is gay.
So, obviously, what is Henry short for?
I don't. Let's see what
Henergy.
Let's see what that Henergy. Answer is. Henry is English. Harry? No, Harry is short for Henry, or apparently Harry derives from Henry.
How do you keep it on the Google.com page? For me, it always bounces to this other...
You go to Google.com.
No, I go to Google.
Let me Google that for you.
And all right, while Google. We're here, Lucas is sure. a... Lucas is one-third a mile from home. Lucas is dumb. Lucas is stupid.
One-third a mile.
Sophia is the Greek word for... Sophia is the capital of what country? Sophia is buying new skis. Sophia... It's my homegirl.
Oh, my God. That's
Sophia
brilliant.
Is my homegirl.
Do Zach.
What is that?
Oh, wait, here's one for...
Zach is gay. Zach is gonna be famous. Zach is on Tumblr. Zach is planning to invest.
So when I did Henry is a... I got Henry is adopted. He has hair. Henry is a nickname for what name? Henry is a Muslim.
Henry is
awesome.
Anthony is a Mexican. Or sorry, Anthony is Mexican. Anthony is engaged. Anthony is a wiener. Anthony is stupid. We have a new employee named Anthony. You'll meet him on a spoiler cast coming soon.
We got Donnie on there.
And let me do a Donnie.
Or Lorenzo.
Oh,
Lorenzo. Good.
Oh, yeah,
oh, my God. Lorenzo is walking. Lorenzo is back rail maze. Lorenzo is awesome. Lorenzo is God. This is the most accurate one.
Lorenzo
so
is God.
He is
a back
stallion
rail of a man.
Yeah.
Lorenzo is, yes.
Dude, that guy is a third degree black belt.
Lucas is
no
a
way.
Third of the
I
way from
I swear to
home.
God.
He is?
Yeah.
Shit, he looks like he'd kick somebody's ass.
He can kick someone's
wow,
ass.
Wow, that's a mess. That's
he
impressive.
Could literally, if we all charged him, destroy us all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he could kill us all.
He's very, and the fact that he keeps it a secret is...
He's a lethal weapon.
I would not be able to keep that a secret.
Lethal weapon.
That shows you what a great martial artist he is.
If I were a third degree black belt, I would be telling you all that every single day.
I would just, like, I would kick that bottle off that box. Because I could.
It's, first of all, the bottle's not in a box, Tom. It's
off the box.
All right, now I feel like an idiot.
Like how Mr. Miyagi would just break those, he broke those three beer glasses on it.
Yeah, just like that.
Yep. Yeah.
So read that article on Games Radar. It is very funny.
Great, some great poetry. A lot of it is surprisingly accurate.
Yeah. Let's jump on to reviews. Let's talk about The Wolf Among Us, Episode 1, Faith, which I think three of us have played.
I played it.
You play it?
Yep. I'm the only one that hasn't, I guess.
Wow. So, yeah.
Yep.
Faith is the name of the first episode.
Let's spoil everything for Ryan.
No, yeah. So, super fun. Telltale making it, based on the Fables comic series. And you play as the big bad wolf in human form as the sheriff.
Big B wolf. Yep.
Bigsby.
As the sheriff of a town. It's
Bigster.
It's
what?
The big man.
Did we play the same game?
Jason Finelli.
Jason
one of our freelancers.
Bigby.
He's the big man.
Yeah. But yeah, so he plays the big bad wolf in human form. He's the sheriff of Fabletown, it's a town of fantasy characters and creatures that are kicked out of their home world and they have to live in ours.
Set
in New York.
Okay.
That's where they live.
Right.
It's like, what?
In the 80s, right?
The game is in the 80s, yeah. So the comic takes place sort of modern day, but they don't age.
I didn't get any of the 80s influence.
I think the only 80s influence is the fact that it's neon purple and they don't have cell phones.
Oh.
Yeah, what a difference cell phones make in a detective story.
Yeah, that game would have been much different without a cell phone, if you think about it.
Because you could have just,
hey, what's up? Oh, somebody's dead. Cool. But, it's very Walking Dead-like in the gameplay, except there's more of an emphasis on the exploration and, like, solving crimes. And then when there is combat, it is brutal as shit.
Super brutal.
Like, just punching the hell out of people.
At the start of the game, when they make the point of that a Fable is very hard to kill.
Yeah.
Like, how much damage they do to the woodsman is, like, shocking.
Yeah, he gets an axe through... He gets his jaw
buried
just broken and an axe buried in the back of his head.
And you meet him later, and it's just like, oh, I got a little bandage.
Yeah,
she's, like, pushing the axe in with her feet.
I was sure he was
while he's
be
on
dead
the ground.
And then he's sitting there just, like, mumbling about... He's, like, just cursing at you. Yeah, Fables are super hard to kill, and I don't know if they'll ever explain it in the comics or in the show or the game. It's not a big deal. But in the comics, they explain that Fable's power is partially related to how popular they are in pop culture. Mm-hmm. There's something that they don't fully understand, that there's a reason that the big bad wolf is super powerful and Rose Red really isn't. And it has to do with the fact that how popular their stories are nowadays. Huh. There's actually a part in the comics where one of the characters kind of goes off and makes a movie secretly makes a huge movie trilogy about himself. So he's immortal, essentially, because he could never not be popular.
That's
that is
actually
cool.
An interesting element, considering the... I can't say this without doing a spoiler.
But there's a character that is not... One that nobody has heard of, essentially. Uh-huh. And the character is, I guess, easily dealt with.
But then there is... I don't want to spoil anything.
But there's... Yeah, it all makes sense with that knowledge. Uh-huh. And they do a good job. And they also do a good job, I'd say. And Tom, you'd be a better focus test for this than Henry or I. But, like... And Greg, I guess, but it's like they... I forgot that you played it. Henry and I've read the comics. Henry knows about the comics a lot.
I've read some of them.
You've read none of them. Did you ever feel like you were being overwhelmed with info or that you didn't know stuff you wanted to?
Not really. I mean, that stuff about knowing about why they're immortal, maybe not immortal, but hard to kill would have been interesting.
Yeah, but they kind of just...
I don't feel like I'm really missing anything when I'm playing it. Because it's eminently, like... I just immediately accept what's in front of me because they go for it completely and they don't look back, and I'm just like, all right, this is, Bigsby the Wolf.
I haven't played it, obviously, but I wonder if maybe trying to explain it too much would actually take away from that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like they believe it, so I believe it. I'm not going to start questioning
don't
give me a reason.
It's not like if you were to pick up a comic, like a really weird random comic, like Chew, and they're just expecting you to know all this stuff. You know who Beauty and the Beast are.
Yeah, yeah.
You're fine with that information. So when you meet Beauty and the Beast, it's almost like when you watch, like, oh, somebody made a modern-day version of Pinocchio, and you're like, oh, that's... I like seeing their spin on blank. So when you see, like, Beauty and the Beast having marital problems, that's just genuinely funny with no effort on the part of the writers of the game.
Right. I mean, they do magical realism correctly.
Yeah.
So
It's grounded in reality really well.
I also wonder where the branch – like, so there's a lot of branching paths in it, pretty much as much as you saw in, like, Walking Dead. But they're more ambiguous, I think, because in Walking Dead, a lot of the times it was life or death. Or a choice you made might kill someone but not the one you expected. But in this, it's like it involves who you go to, who you're following – who you suspect.
Yeah, maybe we should do like a mini spoiler cast for each episode, like a 20-minute one where we just talk about the episode. Yeah. If you're interested in that, let us know in the comments because it wouldn't – why not kind
but
of thing.
But this is the annoying part of it being episode one because until episode two, we won't really – like all we have is the promise of those.
There were some
choices.
Sections. There's a section where you get to choose whether or not you're going to go – you get two phone calls with two different issues. I've heard that – it is very different if you take one over the other.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems that I had with The Walking Dead, where it felt like, irrespective of, like, if I saved, God, I don't even remember the
name. One character or the other.
Yeah, the dude or the chick in that one opening episode, like, I felt like it was ultimately just leading to the same result. But with this one, it's like, oh, I actually want to, I can conceivably see myself replaying this and making a different choice to see.
Sure, because you have to imagine that those scenes, like they're the one chance you have to make that big divergent path, they'd have to play out differently.
Right. And they're more on the line.
Yeah, it forgives the short length of the game, because in Walking Dead, each episode would pretty much be unchangeable except for the decision you'd make at the end that would change the next episode. Yeah. In this one, it feels almost like half of the episode would be different if you made a different decision halfway through.
Hmm. Yep.
So, very fun. I'm really I don't feel like it's like Walking Dead episode one. You felt like this is the beginning of something amazing. Mm-hmm. This feels just like it's proof that Telltale can do stuff totally unrelated to The Walking Dead and have it be cool, but also that they're not Pixar in the early 2000s, where everything they do is going to be the best thing you've ever done, which I think I'm fine with. Obviously, I'd rather it be the best thing in the world.
I think it'll only grow and better.
And also, even if you haven't read Fables, it's obviously worth checking out, especially for like what I think the season pass is like $25 or something.
Now, 15.
15?
If you buy the first one for $5, you can get the other four episodes for 15 total. At least on XBLA.
I saw it on Steam. I think it was $24.99 or something.
It's probably for all of the episodes. Yeah. I think this is the first Xbox Live game with a season pass, and I think they make you buy the first one before you can buy the season pass. Mm. So it's probably $10 for the first one and then $15.99 for the rest on technically. So, worth checking out.
Good game.
Yeah. So time to move on to the community segment.
Radio Radar Community Segment. Radio.
And we gotta start
You're so bad at that.
We gotta really start it with one thing.
Corrections.
You screwed up.
So,
corrections,
last week,
clarifications, retractions, acknowledgments.
Yeah. What? So, first correction, the leak.
The leak.
Yes, apparently I said that leek is only in Asian food.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's only where I've seen it, but
I'm not sure I've ever seen a leek in Asian food.
What? Really?
Are you thinking of bok choy?
I don't know what that is.
Are you thinking of lemongrass?
Are you thinking of chestnuts?
Are you thinking of Asian people?
I mean, now I'm thinking of chestnuts. But
water thing on an open fire?
No, because I know what a leek looks like, because in Pokemon,
Farfetch'd
is carrying around a leek, and he uses it like a baton. It looks like a long green onion or something like that.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy.
Yeah, but where is it? So what
apparently
was the...
we had a reader from Welshland reader.
Wales.
From Wales.
I'm trying to remember the way he described himself.
A Welshman.
Yeah. Yes.
A Welshman is from Wales.
He is from Wales, and he said that it is their national flower. Mm-hmm. And then in a post later, he said it was their national symbol. Mm-hmm. So I didn't look it up, obviously. But it's one of those.
So I don't understand how Wales is still around. Like, it seems like England would have taken care of that
England?
Shit. England would have taken care of that shit.
Eagletonian?
It's so small. It's so
would have taken care of it.
That they would have just been like, you know what? You're ours now.
But then you wouldn't have a Duchess of Wales.
I know. I mean, I can see how Scotland survived. I can see how Ireland survived. But Wales is just so, like, just a knit, like, this corner of, like, unprotected completely.
Prince Henry V of Wales.
Completely surrounded by England. It just makes sense that England would be like, you know what, guys? You're technically us anyway. let's just dissolve this quote-unquote entity
We're
that
all
is
white
Wales.
Here.
Listen, white guys.
Yeah. Like, you can have everything
come
that we have.
Our party.
You're invited, I guess.
Here's well, a here's a pound.
I mean, I know you're backwater and stuff, but...
Is Wales like the Georgia of England?
Georgia in Russia or
well,
Georgia in
no, we
United,
talked,
States?
United States?
I mentioned this before that I have heard
I think
it's
more like
the opposite.
Florida.
Ooh, okay. That the in, you know, in here we disrespect the South and call them rednecks and all that.
Right.
But in England, it's Northerners who are seen as the rednecks of
That's
it.
True.
Or as
the
bump,
country
Scots.
Bumpkins.
Country
the
bumpkins.
Scots.
Yeah.
But I think Wales is also...
Well, what, this
oh, man.
I had a funny exchange with Andy.
Self-awareness just set in. Sorry, buddy. You have a beautiful land, I guess.
I had a funny exchange
with your fucking leek, but your bouquet of leeks that you're giving your women on a first date. You're just like, here, honey, here's a bouquet of leeks.
Go into the kitchen and make.
And
me
then
some
she
fruit.
And then she says,
some
I
Asian
thought these
food.
Were only in Asian food. And then he says,
what do I look like, an Asian to you?
So when Andy Hardup was here, I went.
He'd be punching us all in the face right now. By
no,
way.
He's English, so he'd probably be on board. It's like, how
only
have we
Sophie,
not conquered Wales?
Only Sophie and I had dinner with him, but at dinner that night, there was this commercial. I don't know if you saw it, this funny commercial where Andy Jason Sudeikis plays a Texas football coach who then moves to England to be a football coach.
Oh, I did see that.
And they're really funny, and yeah. it came on while I was having small talk with Andy in the bar we were at. And I said, have you seen these? They're so funny. The Jason Sudeikis like is just in England and making all these mean jokes about how he doesn't understand anything about soccer or English culture or anything. And I said, like, he makes some question about, like, Wales, and he says, how many countries are in this damn country? And then and then Andy was like, there's four. I was like, yeah, I know. The guy on the commercial was joking about that. But Andy didn't have much. I'll just put that down to jet lag, his humorlessness.
Right.
when it comes to insulting
dry,
his home country.
Right. The dry British humor.
Maybe the dry. Yeah, maybe it wasn't dry enough for him.
Henry takes a trip to England, and Andy asks him, so how many fuckheads do you have living in America, you fuck? And he's like,
only about four.
Well, when they've got four countries, and we've got 50, and, like, one of them is bigger than their entire United Kingdom, like, come on.
They should probably feel weird about that.
Take that.
It's a little...
Like, come on. They should probably feel weird about it. Why hey, guys, I've been thinking, kind of awkward how small our country is. Anyone think about that?
Maybe
all
we
of us could fit into
land.
Texas. That's a little strange.
Hey, can we borrow Texas for like a few centuries? We can use some more lofts.
Texas is a barren wasteland as well.
It's true.
It's
but they
pretty
do,
much
true.
All
but
desert.
They do have Australia, which
is
which
also,
another correction.
Yes.
They had.
Henry incorrectly said that it was a penal colony to this day.
To
which
this day?
That was a joke.
Which is incorrect because it actually is a penal colony as of today.
Yeah.
They reaffirmed its penal colony status, and they shipped a bunch of prisoners there.
I said that because I know Australians hate when people remind them that they were a penal colony. And
I mean, they were at one point.
And then also their, you know, subjugation of the Aborigines.
Right.
And all that,
yeah. Also, penal almost sounds like penis, and that's just funny humor.
A penile.
Yeah.
What if you had a
penile
a pianist. Penile colony.
Ooh,
a pianist
for
colony.
All for yeah, yeah. For people who illegally practiced pianism.
There is a beautiful penism. Fan art idea. No, I want
draw Ryan as a pianist.
No, a pianist penal colony. Just a prison filled with people playing the piano.
Wasn't that a movie? The Pianist.
The Pianist.
I don't think he was ever
starring,
in a penal colony.
Oh, really?
Starring the guy with the nose.
Adrian.
Jason Statham.
Yes. Damn it. I wanted to say Jason
Adrian
Brody.
Peterson.
But I couldn't find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was about the Holocaust.
It was.
That's a funny.
Great movie, though.
The Pianist.
Pianist.
There's
penal
also
colony.
The Piano.
The Piano, yeah. That's another good
Harvey
one.
Keitel, I believe, shows his wiener in that.
Does he?
Red scene. Violin.
Ryan, you want to rent that this weekend?
Do what?
That was famous for some frontal nudity.
Some penile.
It's just so rare that it happens. You know, dudes in movies don't want to show their wieners.
The Full Monty. That's a good movie.
It's disappointing.
You don't see any dick in that movie, though.
The Full Monty?
No, they
really?
Deny you it.
Yeah. Oh. The entire movie is about how they're going to be doing the Full Monty.
They spin boxes on their
supposed
dicks.
Well, and you get a back shot of them just so you know they're naked, but you don't see their wieners.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Take my advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
I'm curious how you do this segment, because when I did it,
It was boring.
So we got, it's a shit show.
It was a real shit show.
Amazon.
Yeah. So if you want to get Diablo 3 for $50 for consoles, Amazon.com has both of them. Spec Ops: The Line used at retailer. I don't know what the word retailer all in caps is referring to in this article. We should probably bring that up with the person who put this article together.
Ray Paulowicz,
if you have retailer. Walking Dead, if you go into the GameStop, one of our Game of the Year. Was it our Game of the Year last year?
Yep.
It was. $10 at GameStop if you head into a GameStop.
Whoa.
Tomb Raider for $20 on Amazon. Metro Last Light for $30 on Amazon. You also got Saints Row 4 for about $40 on Amazon on PS3. And the Midnight Purple 3DS for $1.50 on Newegg.com.
Green Man
Gaming
or whatever.
Did you see there's going to be a Zelda XL in America?
Yeah.
I'm kicking myself.
You fucked up.
You all told me when I bought it, like, wait for the Zelda one. It'll come out
I think
year.
I just told you to buy it. I don't think I helped you in this situation. There's also Bioshock Infinite, the Siege of Columbia board game for $70 on ThinkGeek, which I recently played.
Yeah?
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's not great.
It's not worth $70.
It's not worth $70. I don't know where they get off trying to pretend like they can charge $70 for that game. It is not that good. But it's good. When it's down to like 30, go for it. The way the game works is you actually, it's like sort of risky, except you have, not risky, it's like the game
risque.
You can travel around on skyhooks, but you have to roll because it's fucking dangerous. And a person I was playing against missed their roll on a skyhook with Comstock. Comstock fell to his death trying to skyhook between two small parts of the world.
Old men should not skyhook.
No. Also,
it's a young man's game.
Yeah, it's a young man's game. Arkham City is a $7.50 on Steam right now, and there's the Humble Hothead bundle. which
one more time?
The Humble Hothead bundle.
Oh, Hothead.
Yes.
I heard pothead.
Well, I mean, Ron Gilbert did work there.
True.
Get it? I'm saying he's a stoner.
Go on.
Allegedly.
There's no proof.
Allegedly. That's how I can get away with it. So, yeah, those are all deals. You can check out links to how to get them on GamesRadar.com. Let's roll to the question of the week for last week.
Yes, last week's question of the week is, what two actors would you like to see star in a new David Cage game? Mm.
I saw there were some comments that were clearly from people who didn't listen to the episode, who were just like, I don't know who David Cage is. What is this?
Maybe I should listen to the episode before I answer this question. I think that was Genderbender 9000, by the way. So
you know your people.
I do.
You're in touch with
community manager.
You're in touch with the community.
So in other words, he knows them. You need to stop making fun of them and be more sensitive to Genderbender's genderbending.
Reigns Gaydar said, I'm a little late, but I'd like to see Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Reynolds. Hear me out. Having both Deadpool and Green Lantern, the game would be about what it's like to exist in two universes. Mm-hmm. That's about how two strong differences in the personality of GL and Deadpool take their toll on poor Ryan. Plus, think of Cage's excitement at E3 when he shows you how many pixels are in the the face animation of Deadpool's sewn up mouth reopening. Oh, the pixels.
Craig, I'm going to have to ask you to never say face fuck on the
face fuck
podcast again.
That was weird for everyone. Well, you made it weird. Swirly green logo. I want to see Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson in the action comedy equivalent of open world game with Mark Ruffalo as the main villain. let's see. Jabroni sauce. I'd like to see Quantum Dream virtually revive John Belushi and bring Dan Aykroyd along.
Oh, man.
Both sporting some awesome Arnett sunglasses for Beyond Blues Brothers, the Nomad Souls. Runner-up.
Wait, did you say Arnett sunglasses?
I sure did. The runner-up
We don't have the Who scream, so we have to improvise.
Cheech and Chong getting blowed prophecy. Sketchlayer Josh, for the next David Cage game, I'd like to see Gary Busey as a star in Heavy Rain. You'd sometimes have odd moments where the face would contort in horrifying, inhuman ways. If it was Gary Busey, that's pretty much how he looks. So
that's fair.
I was going to say, if they're saying, like, all right, we got Willem Dafoe. He's an ugly-ass motherfucker.
He really is.
How can we go uglier? It's either you go for him or you go for, like, Mickey Rourke. Those are really your divergent paths.
Also, he should play the hero and the love interest, Gary Busey.
Wow.
He's got the chops.
Yeah. So the winner this week has taken us on another
epic
wonderful
journey.
Alec Beals says, let's set the tone. The scene. A dreary trench on the Western Front during the final year of World War I. Thunderclaps roll off in the distance. the heavy fog and drizzle of rain muzzling their natural ferocity. The camera pans away from no man's land and looks inside a half-caved-in trench, the underneath of a turned-over wagon that's long been since liberated from its original owner, sat David Motion Capture Cage. Rifle clutched in his hands, he gently rocks back and forth on the balls of his feet, muttering to himself about the emotion he's currently experiencing. A double fine line of equally weary but not nearly as emotional soldiers march past. Fear and fatigue is evident on their young faces. David stops his rocking for a moment, looking at the passing group as he's searching for some answer to a yet unasked question, before quickly resuming his rocking while saying, "I'm no killer," in a surprising good Scottish accent. This is the opening scene for my proposed new game from David Cage, starring David Cage, about a shell-shocked veteran that's called upon by his native country to do one final mission behind German lines, only this time they have a secret weapon, a spiky blue hedgehog named Sonic. Take over, Tom.
Together, these two heroes, with the aid of the impenetrable might that is a pair of unearthed sunglasses, we'll go as fast as possible through the trenches of Europe and even into the meet the face of emotion god. This summer, David Cage, Sonic, with a guest appearance by Tychus Finley as Otto von Bismarck, will have to put their emotions aside so that they can acquire new, better motion-captured emotions and speed through the dreary, depressing trench zone 1 through 83 in the greatest game of our generation, Cage Rising.
Co-developed by Arnett Sunglasses. Published by Sierra.
Right. Shit, I forgot to hit record. Can we do that one over? I'm kidding.
That was beautiful.
I had three YouTube videos going layering music, by the way.
That vocal track that came in right there at the end was just beautiful.
Alec Beals, congratulations. You've won yourself something from the giveaway pile.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
A beautiful pair of Arnett sunglasses.
We have only five pairs left, ladies and gentlemen. No, we're at five from like the 80 that we started with.
You know, go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, I was going to say.
We know. That's why you said you know.
Do you know who makes some good peripherals?
I've heard that Rokat makes some really good stuff.
They make some full 20 Gs.
20 Gs in the mouse?
In the mouse, 20 grams.
Ryan, you've been sporting 15 Gs.
I have been using just 15 Gs.
I've been rocking the 20 Gs mouse.
Ryan, I was out last week. Are they just trying to get free stuff?
We got free stuff.
Oh, okay.
What I'll say about Rokat mice.
They make some damn great peripherals.
I mean, so Rokat is ingenuous with the way they make their mice. Like, Razer,
ingenuous?
They're honest.
You mean ingenuous?
Disingenuous is
dishonest. All right.
Rokat.
Okay, anyways.
When I think of Rokat.
I don't want any of that shitty Razer peripherals. I don't want any of that.
Nope, you're not allowed to say that.
Oh, sorry. I love Razer makes some decent hardware. I don't want any of that shitty Corsair.
I can't say that either.
What I'll say about Rokat is their mice are so good that even at 15 Gs, it's a good mouse.
Yeah, but think about 20 Gs.
20 Gs is a lot.
I could imagine that.
It's a beautiful mouse.
I could imagine that.
Ryan can't handle this anymore. He's getting physically uncomfortable.
I'm looking up Rokat mice. They get terrible reviews online. Yeah, they're supposed to be hunks of shit. They break
also,
real quick.
We can't say that.
Oh, we can't? Oh. I also made that up.
Is this going to be a lot of editing?
The Rokat?
No, leave it all in.
All right, real talk time. I love that Rokat mouse.
Okay, that's
it's a great Rokat mouse.
I missed something last week.
Not even a little bit.
You actually didn't.
Nope.
This is new?
This is just a thing that just happened.
Oh, okay.
But we do have five more pairs of Arnett sunglasses.
Right.
How many Rokats are we giving away?
I mean,
did they send us any?
It's undisclosed at this current time.
I mean, can you imagine how awesome it would be to be using a full 20G Rokat mouse while wearing Arnett?
Did they send us mice, or are they going
they
to?
They might
send
explode. They're going to send us a neat care package of things to give away during the 24-hour.
Didn't we give away some Rokats?
We did. We had a Rokat giveaway a couple months ago.
And they liked it a lot.
Good.
They'd prefer we do it another time.
Okay.
Once more into
so
the
So what's this week's question of the week?
This week's question of the week is, we have a great article. It's called The 50 Best Moments of This Generation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
it's up on the site right now.
It's on the site. Check it out.
Right fucking now.
Check it out. Which got us thinking, we want to know what your guys' favorite moments of the generation are. So that's this week's question of the week. What is your favorite moment of this generation?
I'm actually going to use one from the list that I didn't write. It was actually somebody, I think it was Justin Towell from the UK suggested it. But the moment for me that I first acknowledged what next gen was downloading the demo for Fight Night on Xbox 360, because that was the best looking thing on the system, and it had like face ripples when you'd get punched in the face. Yeah. And that was the first for me, like, oh shit, this is how high the bar can be set. And it was just like, because before then, a bunch of the games were either super shitty or just didn't look, they were just like shinier versions, like HD versions of crappy looking games. And that was the first game to me that was like, this is something that could not be done in another generation.
Your mic just attacked you, Ryan.
Oh, it fell right into my face.
Mine is it's also from the list, but it wasn't one of my suggestions. It is that the first time you really saw something in HD, saw a game in HD on your TV, because as longtime listeners or fans of Games Radar would know, there was a time I had a 19-inch CRT TV when I first moved out here, and because I couldn't afford an HD TV. Then I finally could in 2009. I bought one.
Were you using the 19-inch up until 2009?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I know. Well, and then
somebody's going to go back and look at all of the reviews you did before 2009 and be like, Henry reviewed this HD game on a 19-inch screen and gave it a low score and complained about the graphics.
Well, so we did this thing that I think we should do again, but it was like, what is your gaming setup type of thing? And when I shared the photograph of... It was me playing Super Mario Brothers 2 off the Wii on my 19-inch TV. The comments were saying, like, someone give Henry a raise, like, that TV is terrible. But so then once I bought it and really – I had always said, like, oh, Gears looks okay. I mean, it looks the same. I'm sure it looks the same or good enough on my CRT. And then once I turned it on in HD, I was like, oh, no, I was 100% wrong. I was totally wrong.
It's funny because Gears is the first game that I also remember being like, wow, this is really nuts.
Is that your moment?
No. I don't want to use that as my moment. I guess one thing that was really, really pivotal for me was playing, I guess, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare in the section. Like, normally when I was used to playing shooters, Half-Life aside, where I just cared not at all about the story. And it was really cool to me that moment where they slide you that gun in slow motion across the floor at the end, and you pick it up and you're like, and you shoot the dude Zakharov or whatever his name is, and
Zachary Markarov.
But that was really, really cool, because I remember being like, wow, I can never remember like a war game and where I was just really surprised.
And that character, that scene in particular, you fucking hate that guy. Yeah. Like, I've never hated a character so much in such a short, like, he just walks around, you have like your traditional high five, we just won the war scene, and then he just starts shooting your friends in the head.
Is
it's
he
like
the guy that lights you on fire?
No, he's the one-armed guy in Modern Warfare.
Oh, so that guy, right.
There's
Zakharov.
But this is Zaka.
Becca.
Yeah, so that was just a really, really cool thing. Okay. Because I played all the Call of Duties up to that one, too. None of them were ever really just like, wow, this is
They
so
were just
crazy.
Good shooters.
Yeah.
Well, so. 2 and 1 was. And then Treyarch. Nah.
Back, but when Treyarch was, Treyarch.
Yeah, now they're yay Treyarch.
Mine was, I think this was E3 2006 or 2007 when Sony had the original Heavy Rain demo, like
the crying chasing lady chasing the around the what apartment?
No, not the demo. The tech demo for Heavy Rain, where it was like this woman who's doing this like soliloquy in her kitchen about like killing her boyfriend because she's cheating on her. That at the time, it looked just way better than anything we've ever seen, and B, just like the way that they were able to like tell an interesting story, I'm like, wow, is this actually where video games are headed? Where we're going to get something that is actually legitimately a complex, interesting story? That blew me away.
Can you give me your name and your age, please?
Yeah, that
My
one.
My name is Mary Smith. I'm 24.
Have you ever taken any acting lessons, Mary?
Not really. I couldn't afford it. But I watched
Looking at it now, it looks like Deadly Premonition. Is how ridiculous it looks.
But even the way it looks now.
I've had a few bit parts.
Stay with it to the end. It's amazing.
People were losing their minds over this one at one time.
This was a truly special kind of tech demo.
Along your lines.
Yes.
get started.
Oh, so she's doing a scene.
Yeah.
Mark it, please.
If you love me forever. 3 months later, we were getting married.
She... It's a funny video. We'll tweet it out, but there's
it's
some
not
good.
Funny at all.
I mean, you can say that, but then you look at this scene for a few seconds.
Yeah. She's creepy looking,
and it's hilarious.
Yeah, it was incredibly powerful.
Well, it was this promise of the PS3. They were like, the PS3 can pull off stuff this good, guys. Yep. But it took another 4 years to get out.
It was a tech demo. They never said it was anything other than.
He's better at making tech demos. Than
He's really good at making tech demos.
Yeah, he is.
He should stick to tech demos.
What about...
I should play Beyond.
What about you, Jonathan? Or
I said mine.
Or Grigori?
I guess mine would probably be King Kong, loading that up for the first time.
Well, that game was super good.
That was a good game, and it was, like, beautiful for a launch. It was a launch title, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't know. It's the first time I ever really saw a game. I was like, holy crap, this looks way better than anything I've ever played before. And I liked King Kong at the time. I was way into it.
It had this idea that, like, nobody ripped off, and they should have. That part where in the combat where you could distract enemies with other enemies. Like,
yeah,
you could throw fire to make one dinosaur fight another.
Or you could skewer the big centipedes and throw those, and then the dinosaurs would go after the centipedes.
And the way you checked it, there was no HUD at
all.
No
HUD, yeah.
And when you checked
really
your ammo, the character would just pop out the clip and really quick be like, 6 shots, and then put it back.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It had a lot of good ideas, really none of which were used. But I think
you could also get 1,000 achievement points just by beating the game.
But the game ends crappy. Like
I honestly don't remember.
The last level is you're Kong in New York, and it's just boring.
Right.
Like New York, they put no work into. Mm-hmm. Though apparently I didn't do it, but if you beat the game under some condition, it then turns into an alternate reality where Kong lived.
Really?
Keeps exploring New York or something.
Skull Island though looked really nice. Like when there's a storm and like.
We should
foliage is blown
live
around.
Stream that game within the next few weeks
that's
as like
a
throwback. That was a lot of people's first next gen game.
Yeah, that's not
a
bad
idea.
It
was really good. The last half hour of Mass Effect, the original Mass Effect.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. That was like that entire Mass Effect itself, the original game, not that great except for that last half hour,
which made it left such a good taste in everyone's mouth for the entire game.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the question of the week. Where can they answer it?
They can answer it right here on this
right
page.
Here in this room.
Yeah, just shout it out wherever you are.
4,000 Shoreline Court.
Oh, another corrections thing. If we want to bring it back up, everyone's getting on my case because I've been saying driving buddies.
Oh,
but they're like, I want to be one of Greg's buddies, but I don't drive.
What?
Bladed Falcon. I'm in Mexico without a car.
Wow.
So you better stop saying driving buddies. So here's to all my standing, sitting, riding, driving, sleeping. What are some other states you can be in?
Eating.
Eating.
Consciousness.
Working.
Working.
I'll have
pooping.
Swimming.
Pooping buddies.
Swimming.
Perhaps.
Pooping buddies.
Pooping buddies.
Swimming. Pooping buddies.
I mean,
did you guys talk about Sweet Walk last week?
Did we?
Oh, the indie game?
No, we did not. Because that came out afterwards.
Okay. So there's we'll give a little tease for that, and we'll talk about it more in the future. Maybe we can do an interview with the designer. But you might have heard us talk about taking a sweet walk, a.k.a. walking to the Homewood Suites next door and pooping.
Uh-huh.
And an indie game developer has listened to this and is planning on making a game based on it and has some screenshots.
Also,
I do have a bit of criticism.
It's a sweet walk spelled
S-U-I-E-T-T-E. S-U-I-T-E.
Sweet, like the Homewood Suites.
Homewood Suites, S-U-I-T-E, not S-W-E-E-T.
Yeah.
It's close, and I understand they're homonyms.
Yeah.
But
fuckhead.
No, it's the other one.
That's
no,
it. So, yeah.
But
you can
close.
Sweet Walk, the indie game.
Right.
Let's kickstart that shit and get it
literally.
And get it going.
Kickstart.
All right. So that's it for episode 60. Be sure.
Oh, wait. I want to say something. I was looking at our reviews on iTunes recently, and I haven't seen many new ones.
Oh,
like, we haven't
gotten
many in the last 2 months. What the fuck? I want more reviews on iTunes, guys. Come on. Get with it.
All right. So there's that.
And also... Cody Stovall sent in an awesome piece of fan art for Halloween, where each of us are a Halloween serial character.
Let's use that for the picture this week.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And Cody Stovall, you'll be pleased to know, it is hanging up next to our on our fan art wall.
Mm-hmm. Next to the other piece he sent in, where we were go-kart racers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I like that I have the same stomach-grasping pose in both. And the weird thing is, Cody, even
now
you've
a
never
mummy.
Seen me do that, yeah. you have exactly captured what it looks like.
You really fucking have. Nailed it.
Yeah. Everyone else thought like it was really weird.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Maybe he has a similar stomach and is like, you know what, I'm just going to
draw
from life.
My father would be proud of you. He fucking hates me, but he'd be happy with you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I cut off the end of the show.
Goodbye! We are recording.
I don't know what the question is, but I already know what card I'm going to pick.
That's good.
Which is simply a better game?
I really hope you don't have the card question. I think you have.
Bam.
Bing.
Bomb.
Bing, as in like the
search engine.
Bing is.
I'll go first.
Right. Ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Cabela's big game.
Dota!
Who's
Defense
going?
Of the Ancients. I'm going because this is the mod of Warcraft 3.
Oh, God.
That League
big
of Legends.
Game Hunter. Is one
Get
of the best
feasted,
games ever made. Is because
League of Legends is based on Dota, which and now League of Legends by default
is
one of the
game
best games ever made.
Pizza Hut,
and so Defense of the Ancients, we owe a lot to this game, especially you know even the current state of esports, because now there are $1 million purse prizes
half
for winning.
Big Game Hunter is,
so,
is one of those games.
But anyways, Tom, I don't know if you ever heard of Shut Up.
So which one did you have? I was planning on playing this while you were both arguing, but my laptop was really slow.
Cabell. All right, I have one as well. Portal. It's number one on our best games ever list, so it's number one. The end.
Wow.
Well, mine
didn't
is.
Didn't even work for it.
Mine is Metagame. Oh,
that's very meta.
It's very meta.
Meta.
The best game
it's
that's
a game
out there.
Outside of the game.
It's called Meta. You ever heard of it?
It's called The Game by Neil Strauss. He practiced pickup artistry.
Lead singer. Of the rock band Aerosmith.
I didn't have any good cards.
Too soon. Here goes.
Something. Just go ahead now.
If you want to call me baby.
Just go ahead now.
If you. Call me baby.
Go ahead. Go ahead now.
Your father will disown you.
I like how that's the only part you sang. That's really sad.
Remember me. I ain't got no future or family tree, but I'm the one who's going to be. I'm the one who's going to be. If you.